And welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host, Derek. This is Avoiding the Stay podcast where we look at the law and try to understand how it all works. In this episode, we'll be looking at... I forgot to find out the name of the show! We're looking at automaton statues. That's what we're looking at. We are looking at automaton statues. I forgot to read the title of the show before I recorded the intro, and I left it because it's funny. Hey. Anyway, welcome back, guys. Welcome back, my beautiful Mistbusters. Hello. Great to have you listening again. I was about to say see you, but that's not how this works. This is a new episode, episode 24. Hope we're all doing well. There's some news that has happened since I was last broadcast into your ears, that we have now got the official trio for the TV show. And I'm very excited. I'm just very excited. Gonna have some fun times. They look like they seem to be having fun getting to know each other before recording officially starts. So I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It is going to be great. In other news, we've got a question response from the question about last week on the social. I only have one social. That's @through_mist on Instagram. The question was, how does Styx manage the oaths? It was kind of that bit that me and Robert left it off on last episode, and we got a response from a friend of the pod, Darian. Hey. And they commented, they replied to the question saying, seems like it depends on who broke the oaths. Not much happened to Zeus or Poseidon. Meanwhile, Apollo got to watch everyone he cared about suffer. Guess if the point is to learn a lesson about following through on promises, Styx isn't going to waste her time on folks who aren't going to learn. As a motto, Apollo could do better. Meanwhile, Zeus and Poseidon will never change. # don't be like Zeus. She didn't put that at the end, but, you know, just felt right, doesn't it? Yeah. I get it. It makes sense. It's perfect. It was a lot of what me and Robert were talking about. It's another different way of looking at it, is in... as a mortal, you have more ability to change than a god, which is kind of depressing, but at the same time, these gods aren't real, so who cares? But it's good for personal, because it means you can change, and I think that's a very nice way of looking at it. Yeah. Woo! I don't know. Rambles. This is what this section's labelled, and this is what it is. I do hope you're doing well. I've had a busy week. Busy month. I've just been busy. So this episode might end up being a bit more just rambly in general and less like, oh, here's solid points. But you know what? We'll get into it and we can find out together. Here we are at the beginning of the episode, so... da, 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 brr, what are we doing today? Do, 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 do. What are we doing today? So, the whole reason this episode's kind of happening is, as I said, I needed something relatively simple to look at, because I've had a busy month. So we've done this. And it all stems from the fact that recently, I was on Podcast of Poseidon, and we talked about Talos. Podcast of Poseidon, you don't know, is friend of the pod's Davian's podcast that she does with her brother, DJ. So we talked about Talos, and in the notes, it was defined as Talos as an automaton, just to reduce things. You can go listen to the episode, you get more details. However... It made me go, hang on, isn't that what we call all those statues? So, hang on, what? What? And I started to have, thoughts about the statues and how they work and related to Talos and the existential crisis that we ended up having on that episode of the podcast. And no, we're not getting to that stuff today, Darian. We are not doing that today, okay? This is specifically for you, Darian. We are not looking at this today. We have proof that they don't have souls, and that is as far as we shall go, okay? That's it. That's the end of this conversation. if you want to know more, go listen to the podcast. There'll be a link in the description. Yes, so we're looking at the automatons, just all of the automatons that are labelled as such in the Peugeot universe, I guess. Peugeot. We're going to look at them in Peugeot. And we're going to look at some in specifics and then just kind of come up with ideas about how they might actually work. First thing to start with is, what is an automaton? It's because when I hear the word automaton, the first thing I think of is the statues that helped defend Olympus during the Battle of Manhattan, which I realised when writing that comment for the first time, it's more the Siege of Manhattan than the Battle of Manhattan. It's a very short siege, I'll give it that, but it's very much more siege than battle. However, they aren't the first automatons we see. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, there's, of course there's others. There's the Hoover Dam statues. Yeah. However, if we go to dictionaries and definitions, because we love doing that sort of thing, an automaton is a machine that operates on its own without the need for human control. So basically, anything that when we look at it and go, oh, that's a robot, that's what an automaton is. For Peugeot. In the Peugeot Action universe, anything that we're like, oh, robot, automaton. This means that technically the first automatons we see are the spiders and the lightning thief. So, but we're not going to look at every single automaton. That's too many, and they are the one, some of them are very easy and simple and just like, duh, it's a robot. But then there's some fun ones. So we're going to go into the fun ones. Specifically, we're going to start with the Hoover Dam statues. The Hoover Dam angels, Chuck and Hank. I believe it's the first time we get a word given to describe what these things are. We don't get it for the spiders, we don't get it for the ball. So yeah, we get told that they are automatons because they say themselves, the automatons, they're a known to party, talking about some people in LA, or people, automatons, robots in LA, statues. And that's Hank and Chuck saying that. So we get told what they are. We know they're made out of bronze, these ones in particular. But we do get questions about how they became animated, because they sound like they have this previous knowledge of just going up and going, hanging out with other things, beings like them. Yet they are supposed to be statues that sit on pedestals at Hoover Dam. And in this scenario, we meet them, it's the reason they help is because Thalia prayed to Zeus. So, did Zeus bring them to life? But then they have this past scenario where they've actually always been alive, and Zeus just called upon them to help. So it's how much free will do these, specifically these two, have? Is a very interesting thought. To someone that really, really just extends theirs. That's right, Daedalus. How does that link? I have no clue how that links. But this dude, okay, Daedalus, well, obviously, I'm talking about the statues. Obviously, I'm talking about Daedalus. Because not only does he create the statues around Manhattan, he also transfers his soul into 5 separate automatons. Like, dude? This guy is mad. This guy is a genius. A certified genii. Yeah. It's also the only automaton that we actually get a good look inside of. Because of body 5, when he finally is willing to die, quite literally. We get this quote from Basil the Labyrinth, Bottle. his skin turned transparent, revealing the bronze gears and machinery whirring inside his body. Then the statue turned to grey ash and disintegrated. Grey ash. That was... ugh. That did not feel right coming out my mouth. Oh, that's going to get clipped.
BG Dubs, this is the proof that these bodies don't have souls, because Daedalus is able to transfer in souls. When his soul leaves, the bodies also die. But, you know.
Yeah, so... and they are machines. Presumably, they're mechanical. They're mechanical beings. They are robots with gears, like steampunk robots. They are steampunk robots. And we can presume that the bronze in this case is celestial bronze because, you know, it's also able to hold a soul. Daedalus, we also know, built all the other automatons in Manhattan because of Plan 23 is the reason we know this. Yeah, like, we don't really know how these work. And it's also the first, these are also the first automatons that we know of which aren't all metal / bronze. The most obvious ones being the lion statues, which, when I googled images of, appeared to be made out of marble or limestone or some form of white stone. Something's obviously going on here, because, I mean, to start with, let's be honest, Daedalus retrofit every single one of these. All the statues have been retrofit. Actually, do they... oh, no. Do they have souls? Because the skin grows transparent when he doesn't have a soul, but then he never turns into a statue. No, these are more like sleeper agents. When the body doesn't have a soul, it goes transparent. So the stone ones, they have like partial souls in them. So they can fake stone out-teriors. Out-teriors? What words I'm using today. I'm grasp on my English language today. It's great. Yeah, I mean, it is a technical marvel of engineering, the retrofitting of all these statues, even the ones made out of metal to begin with. So he has to go up to them, somehow take the measurements, don't know how I did that, perfectly accurately remake them, and be able to make them move without showing their joints. This guy, he's an absolute genii. That is what he is, an absolute genii. Because metal's not flexible, unlike skin. So it can't bend and twist. Like skin can, it's a bit too and cracky. So yeah, you can't put movement joints in on the outside. It's amazing. He is a genie ice. But yeah, Daedalus, I don't really know what I'm saying anymore. Well, we'll go to the next. Said, this episode is going to be a bit wild. I've been busy and I don't really know how to talk about this. And it's just fun. I'm just having fun. Are you having fun? Because I'm having fun. Fun times. Yes, so I also want to talk about one other particular automaton. And that is our good boy, our big shiny boy, Festus. Or as I keep on reading it, Fetus. He's one of those ones that is clearly an automaton. Clearly just a robot. Clearly robotic. He's clearly a robot. But he does have this weird thing happen to him when Piper forcefully wakes up the powdered down Fetus. Festus. Like I said, I English language. Yes, powered down. Festus, Piper wakes him, and he seems to act differently. He can't power down anymore. Which brings up another interesting point. But I've got closing thought sections for this. So this is me just kind of rambling at the moment about everything, about all of it together. And then we're just going to clump it all in a gooey ball and make something work. But what we do get about Festus as well is how the programming or the brain works a bit. And, I mean, I don't think Rick is a mechanical or electrical engineer, so he doesn't really know, or computer engineer, which is probably the closest thing for the brain. It's a computer. But we get the motherboard brainy thingy. We see it in the Lost Hero. But it's described that it's like a... it sounds like a hard drive, I'm gonna be honest, that's how I picture it. It's a hard drive, the disc, but you could take out the disc, scrub the disc clean, put it back in, goes Apparently it's rusty, which means it's made of steel, but you know, but that just, might just be incorrect vernacular, because rusty now just kind of commonly means metal gone bad, weathered badly metal. That's our big boy, big shiny boy. The big shiny big boy, the big shiny boy, the big shiny boy, the big shiny boy. I was prepared. I was mentally prepared for this episode, and then I did the mistake with the intro, and it's just gone downhill from there. However, am I going to re-record it? No! Why not? Because I think it's funny. I think it's fun to have some really dumb episodes that make no sense. I think it's hilarious. I think it's one of the best things that I do. Go a bit off the rails. Which this one is. It's a bit off the rails. And I think you will all agree. Does that mean it's probably going to have a lower attention? Yeah. Yes, it does. 100%. But who cares? Not this guy. Ooh, baby, do you know what it's worth? Ooh, heaven is place on earth. Okay. Right then, let's do the wrap-up-ity section I just said, because of ramblers. I'm just rambling. Yes, I think that this is all magic mechanic. Mechanics being the actual job, not the descriptive word. And, okay, like, yes, Owen, you're copping out again. So what? I'm copping out every single time these days. It's all I've got is the cop-out. It's getting harder to come up with reasonable explanations for some of this stuff, because some of this stuff isn't supposed to have reasonable explanations. This being one of them. This is almost such a common trope. I mean, I even thought while writing these closing sections, is the Sphinx an automaton? Like, that's where my brain's gone. It's such a common trope for, like, statues to come to a life. Like, it's not a strange idea to us. As a story element, it's not supposed to be confusing. It's like robots themselves aren't a strange idea to us. So you just add a form of robot and we all just kind of accept it. You don't need to do a big explanation about how it works. You don't need to give them anything. You just say, these are things. And we go, uh-huh. Because it's a common thing that you add them in and we don't really question it. You have, within this set of what is defined as an automaton, you have things like the balls and the spiders, which are very basic mechanics and basic computers, like engineering. Like, the spiders have one job, and that is to crowd whoever trips the wire. The balls, they have one job, and that is to attack. That is all they know. And then you get to more complicated mechanical things, like Festus, who then becomes his own separate thing because magic voices. And then you get to the other ones in between. Then you get, like, the statues in Manhattan, which have a very specific directive, but you can program that directive within, thanks to Plan 27. And then you have Hank and Chuck, who are almost free spirits, doing what the heck they're like. I don't know. Dancing, romancing. It's like, so it's that's the main issue with automatons, is there's such a range of different levels of them. It's like, it's interesting to look at, and the amount of automaty makes it all feel a bit like, so Hank and Chuck, they seem to have, like, been given actual lives. They aren't, like Festus, after he gets the magic, and all of Daedalus's soul transferring. There's something with the Greek magic, or the world of magic, and seeping through, and they can control it, but they're not doing magic. They're not saying magic words. It's and they themselves aren't magic. It's supposed to be a more mechanical, electrical process rather than a mystical one. And it does blur the line. It's a very fine blurred line. But then you're dealing with metals which are inherently magic themselves. Pure gold is literally gold that has been enchanted, sort of thing. And celestial bronze can only be mined from Olympus. I've got a plan of doing an episode about all the different materials, because that seems like something that would be interesting. It is this balance of, so what, how? Like, because the main question that, like, never really gets answered, I don't think, is a question that Leo poses, like, the first time he sees Festus. And it's, how the heck are these things powered? What is their power source? Like, I went to the Daedalus death scene because I went, oh, maybe he's putting a power source in there. Nope. I mean, our best bet at a power source is maybe a scaled-down version of what Leo has for the Argo 2. Because that seems like an infinite fuel supply that is not going to... Well, it is dangerous, but once it's running and you can't stop it. But also, I can't remember will it explode or not. But, that's our best option. It's probably what Fetus is running on now, since Fetus... I said Fetus again, didn't I? Festus is a rebuilt Argo 2. So, you know, they probably now have the same engine, same life force. But then... Festus can also breathe fire, but doesn't seem to need, like, a resupply of monstrous nightmare goo. So, it doesn't... Like, they are magically mechanical. Or they're mechanically magic. They blur the line. So, I can't... It's really hard to explain, because there's no magic answers for them, because we never look at them from a magical perspective. And there's no proper mechanical answers for them, because they're... basically science fiction things, and there's no in-universe explanation because it's such a common idea that statues can come to life. I keep on thinking of like animated films where like they're going up to a big gate and then like, I mean, the statues from Night at Museum, there's you go, example right there. But like, that's not an uncommon thing. It's like big god statues that come to life to protect a tomb. That's a very good one. Good brain. Well done, brain. Yeah, so they're mechanically magical. They're magically mechanic. They are supposed to be rooted more in science than magic. But there's also magic with them. They aren't fully mechanical, but they aren't magic either. That's where we're at, I think. Like I said, very rambly. I don't know what's going to happen now. I hate coming to an end of an episode or an end of a thought process because I'm like, Now what do you guys think? I want the response, but this is the thing with podcasts. It's a delayed response because I record it, put it out, and then you guys decide if you want to join in the conversation or not. And I would really like you to join in the conversation. And if you want to do so, you can do follow the Instagrams @the_mist, or if you are so inclined, you can send us an email to through.t.mist@gmail.com. Everything I say is in the links in the descriptions, babies, because I'm a clever guy. I do not just like leave you out there hanging with nothing. I give you links to things. Links. Links. And like names things. You can just like copy and paste the email address if you are so inclined. Magically mechanical, mechanically magic, that is what these things are. They are gorgeous, beautiful machines that need to be loved. I don't know why not. Who cares? Yes, so thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any comments on this theory or theories of your own that you want me to discuss, you can email them through through.t.mist@gmail.com, or you can follow the Instagram @through_mist. Make sure to follow the podcast, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, whatever you have to do, on whatever platform you listen on to help get the podcast out there. I've been Owen, and come back next time as we see through the mist! Explosions!